WBEZ's Nonprofit Spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org. This WBEZ podcast is supported by the Crown Family School of Social Work Policy and Practice at the University of Chicago, where research meets real-world impact. The master's program in social work blends classroom learning with extensive field education guided by faculty known for groundbreaking research. Applications are open at crownschool.uchicago.edu/socialwork. Inspire change. Shape the future.
I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. Every other week on the program, we journey to interesting structures in and around Chicagoland that make us want to ask a pressing question. What's that building? And that's when our architecture genius, Dennis Rodkin, swings by with all the Chicago story on why and how a particular structure came to be. This time around, Dennis headed to our neighbor, Sturtevant, Wisconsin, where we'll find the Pritzker Military Museum and Library, a funky-looking, bold structure lined with hunks of metal and a lot of glass. Dennis Rodkin joined us in the studio with more. So I asked him to help us get oriented a bit and take us with him and describe the rural area north of the Illinois-Wisconsin state line.
Yeah, from Navy Pier, it's about 60 miles north. From the Illinois-Wisconsin line, it's about 10 miles north. You can almost see this when you're on the expressway headed toward Milwaukee. You're driving through really farmland, some suburban development, and then there's this piece that rises up. You see metal framework. You see a lot of glass. Mm-hmm. You also see the metal framework is red, and you also see the landscaping, which now in the fall is also bright red.
Right. Yeah, and that's the first thing I noticed. You sent photos of this, and of course, they're online right now at WBEZ.org in your great article. But like this red skeleton frame, Dennis, what's going on with that?
It's really fascinating. So the building is by Helmut Jahn, the great Chicago architect who died a few years ago, and his design partner, Phil Castillo, who carried the ball over the line after Jahn's death. It's designed to look essentially like a temporary military building. It's a permanent building, but it's designed to look like an installation the military might put up somewhere when there's a quick mission to be accomplished. Mm. So what you see is these two red metal trusses that are over 300 feet long. They're lower on the south end than on the north end, so the whole thing sort of seems to tilt up. Mm-hmm. And then there's an enclosure entirely wrapped in glass.
Yeah. And so Helmut Jahn, I mean, this design that you're talking about, Dennis, this is sort of one of his signature design features, isn't it?
Well, you know what's funny, Sasha, is right now there's an example of exactly this in the Loop. The Thompson Center, many people are familiar with, one of Helmut Jahn's most famous buildings in Chicago, though he built all over the world,
right
now looks a lot like the Pritzker Military Museum and Library because its red skeleton is entirely exposed. That's not how the building usually looks.
Right.
It's undergoing a transition from use by the state of Illinois to use by Google, and they've stripped off all the glass. And anybody who has passed by recently sees it as this giant red skeleton.
Right.
And so then if you go to Sturtevant, Wisconsin, you see something that will always have this giant red skeleton
exposed.
Yeah,
that's permanent. Right. Yeah. So you mentioned Phil Castillo there, who's with the architecture firm called Jahn, and he shared more insight with you. Apparently, this was the last full building that Helmut Jahn designed before he died?
This is something Phil confirmed for me. Helmut Jahn, as most people know, died unexpectedly in an accident on his bike out near St. Charles a few years ago. There are projects that have been finished since. Some of them were additions or redesigns to existing buildings. But this, according to Phil Castillo, is the last new design that Helmut Jahn touched.
Did he share anything else about Jahn's vision for the look of this structure?
Well, so I said it needs to look like sort of a military installation. The specific words that Phil passed down from Helmut Jahn are that it needed to look rough and tough. One of the things you see when you're there is the welds are not smoothed down. You see sort of rough welding. Mm-hmm. You see a lot of exposed bolts. Again, the idea is to sort of suggest that as on the beaches in Normandy in 1944, the military has thrown up a building for temporary use and hasn't really bothered to make it as sophisticated as a permanent building might be.
Yeah, and that red, which is super vibrant. I mean, any idea why Jahn chose that color for those steel beams?
Well, he has used it elsewhere, but in this particular case, he used it because it symbolizes courage. Red is often associated with courage, bravery. It's the U.S. Marine Corps flag is nearly all red. The Army flag has red in it. Mm-hmm. So the idea was that it would connect to the military.
So speaking of the military, the north end of the building, you write, it's got a connection to a well-known military vessel.
You really have to see this. You have to walk into the building from the north, which is the only way a visitor would enter. And you really can see all of those amphibious landing vehicles you've seen in movies about World War II. It looks as if the back end of a boat is opened up for you to storm in off the beach or storm out onto the beach, drive a tank, whatever it is. It also feels like a very ceremonial space because the framework comes out over so much of a large concrete plaza. There are trees and flags. So you're not only seeing the back end of a Higgins boat, but there is a direct reference to a Higgins boat with its mouth open for entry.
Remind us, when did this museum and library open, Dennis? And share more about the military history that you can actually learn about inside.
It opened in May, and it's been sort of a rolling opening, and a lot of things have come since May. Some of the things you see, right now there's an exhibit on Bill Malden, who was a cartoonist of World War II, not drawing funny ha-ha cartoons, but portraits of soldiers and that sort of thing, very well known, worked for the Sun-Times after World War II, worked mm-hmm. for the Sun-Times for several decades. But other things you can see are there are videos about soldiers' diaries. I was a young man. I was shipped overseas. I'm communicating with a girl back home. She keeps all my letters and then decades later donates them to the museum. And the museum sort of tricks out the story of what I was writing back to the girl, the stories I was telling, what I was seeing.
Oh, wow.
It's really very interesting.
Who is the brains behind this idea?
Jennifer Pritzker. She's a cousin of Governor J.B. Pritzker. She's an Army veteran and also an Army Reserve veteran and started this museum first in Streeterville, later on Michigan Avenue, about 20 years ago. And then about 5 years ago, announced the construction of this archive in Wisconsin. And then when it was just about to open last February, announced that the museum on Michigan Avenue would also move to the archive site in Wisconsin.
Interesting. I mean, any information as to why they wanted to move the operation to Wisconsin?
You know, Pritzker and her organization called Tewanee, they're pretty tight-lipped. They said, we're moving the museum to Wisconsin to be near the archive, but they didn't say anything about what would happen to the space the museum was in the Monroe Building on Michigan Avenue, why they would go ahead and move the institution north.
Well, we've spent a lot of time, Dennis, talking about what the Jahn-designed building looks like on the outside. So structurally, what can we see inside the building?
You know what you can see inside the building? Outside. It's really interesting because
all that glass, right?
Yeah, it's wrapped in glass, and the glass is fritted, which is to say it's dotted in both red and black, and that does a few things. It breaks down glare, it keeps birds from flying into the building, and it also tells you that you're not actually in the outdoor space. Mm-hmm. But you don't really see the fritz. What you see is the farmland around you. You see the landscaping and then beyond that, the farmland around you.
Interesting.
It really does feel as if you're sort of under a temporary roof. And then you walk around and first of all, so you can see these things I described, the bolts that are exposed, the welds that have not been polished down, the exhibitry we talked about. It's in a very open sort of a space. But another thing that makes you feel like you might be in a military installation is, so I've said this building is all sort of wide open and surrounded by glass. Mm-hmm. But in the middle, there's a core space that has workspaces, bathrooms, et cetera. And that's wrapped in something that looks like really heavy chain link. It's a metal weave. So it's another, it's actually kind of beautiful if you like those sort of heavy industrial designs. Mm-hmm. But it's another thing that makes you think this is in a temporary sort of put together for a very specific purpose and it will be moved later kind of a space.
This space sounds like a gem, Dennis. It really does.
It really is. It's fascinating to go there. I mean, first of all, it's so distinct from its surroundings. When you're standing inside the museum, you can also look out at a red barn that's a couple properties away.
That's right.
It's fascinating to walk around. As a visitor, you only get to go into about a third, that northern third of the building. But it's a really interesting experience.
And this is not just a one-off project for Jennifer Pritzker.
Well, see, that's the interesting thing. Most of what Tawani has done, it's been in hospitality and other businesses, but most of the architecture it has dealt with has been historical buildings that it restores, while this is this super contemporary brand new building.
True, yeah.
I would not have been at all surprised to go up to see the museum and see, you know, columns, something that looks like it's from France because it evokes World War II.
Mm-hmm.
Her company has restored a Frank Lloyd Wright house on Sheridan Road in Rogers Park, couple of mansions in Evanston that were turned into bed and breakfast.
Oh, so very different than what we're talking about today.
And I mean, and the real difference is when you go to the Monroe building where the museum used to be and where her organization is still headquartered, when she restored that, it's right across from the Art Institute and it has one of the most wonderful lobbies in downtown Chicago. It's lined with Rookwood pottery tile, arts and crafts era designs. It's this beautiful historical material. And so there's that at one of her projects. And then you go north to the Helmut Jahn building and there's this material I described as looking like heavy chain link.
Right. Fascinating stuff. That's Dennis Rodkin, Crane Chicago Business Residential Real Estate Reporter. Thank you so much, Dennis.
Thanks, Sasha.
This episode was produced by me, Sasha Ann Simons, and mixed by Ari Mejia. If you see a building or interesting structure that you would like Dennis to investigate, leave us your name and a description of the property in a voice message at 888-915-9945, or you can send an email to reset@wbez.org, and we just might cover it on the show. Don't forget to hit subscribe to hear our other episodes of What's That Building and much more. Thanks for listening. We'll talk again later today.
My name is Donald. I live on the southeast side of Chicago. I support WBEZ because of the balanced reporting and covering so much about an issue as opposed to just the few seconds that you may hear on most other news outlets. It matters to me to hear the story more completely.